Well, I've got a guest today from the Kuklint Native Head Start, and we're talking about a language immersion program. Welcome, Ethan Pettigrew, Executive Director.
Kilach. Good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. So, Kuklint Native Head Start, I think I've heard the name before. What's your history, or what's the organization's history?
No, thanks for asking. Kuklint Native Head Start was originally started out of South Central Foundation, and they operated this Head Start for a number of years, and then eventually spun us off into our own 501c3. So we then came on our own, but received tribal designation through the Siri Corporation. So, I know that all becomes really confusing. We're also collaborating and tied into CITC, although we're two separate programs. I guess a way to look at it in a very simple way, or how we Native people tend to look at things, is as one big, the Siri family. So our mother is South Central Foundation, which would then make kind of our grandmother would be Siri Corporation, who takes care of us, basically. And then so CITC would be like an auntie for us. If that
hey,
makes sense.
Cousin.
Yes. I get it now. Okay.
So, yeah, we're our own program. And I know the name Cook Inlet often gets us confused. People will call Tribal Council often for us, or we get phone calls for Tribal Council stuff as well, or Head Start related, of course, because they run Claire Swan Early Head Start. We run both Early Head Start and Head Start. Our location is up here on the corner of Tudor and Muldoon by Strip Mall, the Chugach Square Mall. It's owned by South Central Foundation, and they're the ones who give us all the in-kind for that, and we are much appreciated. We couldn't do what we do with language and culture without that gift from them, so we're tremendously indebted to them for that. And now we've recently opened up a classroom, two of them over at the Heritage Center, and that's one of our more exciting ones. It's the immersion room, a Yupik immersion room we've opened.
Right, and so that's super exciting to have more than one Yupik immersion program here in Anchorage.
Yeah, and it's really working out ideally. We started in 2015, and then CITC asked if we wanted to go in on a grant with them to go for ANA language. We didn't have the capacity for it, and we said, yes, we'd love to. So we're collaborating with them. They are now running the Early Head Start Yupik Immersion Program. So those babies, once they get 3 years old and are ready to go to Head Start, will then come over to our immersion program so we can build on their language skills for another 2 to 3 years. And most recently, I'm just excited to say that Anchorage School District is coming on board with Yupik Immersion and will this fall start up a kindergarten Yupik Immersion room. And it's been our concern for a number of years, where are our children going to go when they hit kindergarten? We didn't want to hear the same story that you and I have heard from many of our family members and other people. I went to kindergarten or first grade and my language was killed, basically. We didn't want that to happen. So we've been working with Doreen Brown, who has pushed it in the district, and now I'm just happy to say that our kids have a pathway to for Yupik fluency and part of the district, now being part of the school district. So.
Yeah, you know, I can think back, and I definitely didn't speak Yupik in kindergarten, or when I was talking to the teacher in Yupik, and she was from outside, she didn't know what I was talking about. It's like, you know, I said now what, and it's like I'm like asking about where something is, and she's like, now what? What do you mean now what? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I think that's a familiar tale to a lot of people, and this is great. An immersion program that's...
It's long overdue. In our, we all know that our languages were oppressed or were basically forbidden in the schools for a period of time. And so in the boarding school experience, all of that, our languages have seen a huge deterioration. In fact, one of Alaska's native languages is no longer spoken. We're trying to prevent that from happening to any other languages. We started with Yupik, which was the easiest. We wanted to start with Dena'ina because this is their homeland. It's difficult. There's some issues that are difficult for us to find, one, early childhood degreed individuals who speak their language and who are willing to learn language teaching techniques, unless they've already got that in their background. Just because you speak doesn't mean you can teach well. So one of those things is we want to... immerse our immersion teachers in language teaching strategies that are really productive or have worked well in indigenous communities.
Wow. Yeah, that's an important distinction, knowing to teach and rather, some people are born teachers, right? And then other folks.
I agree. There's some people that just have a knack to teaching. But let's face it, most of us don't. When we're learning a job or skills, there's things we need to learn from experienced people or different methods. I mean, just because I'm a good mathematician doesn't mean I can teach you mathematics. So and we've heard it all before from teachers in the past. Go, I don't know what's wrong with those kids. They didn't learn anything. I taught them, but they didn't learn. No, my thing is you didn't teach them. You can't have one without the other. So we're trying to give those skills to our teachers. And again, there's some methods like the gray morning method, which is a fabulous method with this age group to get kids learning language. And that's not typically found in any kind of classes that we've probably taken, like foreign language classes like German, Spanish, Russian, anything like that. They don't use this model typically. So this is something that was developed in an indigenous community and has had great success, and we're having tremendous success with it with kids who are who know no Yupik when they walk into that classroom. She's got kids in there speaking Yupik now. One of the things, if you come visit that classroom, and I encourage you to, you can't use one English word in there. Oh, wow. Be on you. It's just the opposite.
What are the fundamentals of the gray morning, the gray morning message, the way that works?
He developed this program. He's Arapaho, and he developed it mainly for his region or for his people, and it worked successfully. And from there, it's spread out. He teaches in Missoula, Montana. And you use a lot of pictures and photographs to build language or to build sentences with. So first you start with, you know, your basic vocabulary of nouns and then your prepositional phrases and things like that. But he uses pictures to do it and objects to do it with. And then obviously the other part of it is total physical response that we use, which is we don't concentrate on writing, reading, anything like that, which is developmentally inappropriate that age anyways, even in English. So we're just going on the spoken word at this point. When they get into elementary school, then the kindergarten, they'll start focusing on writing.
Wow, cool. So I remember taking a Yupik class, and it seems like the most, well, like functionally, what I mostly learned was parsing and like, let's see, ablative modales. Oh, I see you're this, and I got these post bases, and there's a lot of linguistics style learning, and that sounds like it's not the focus on this one.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing you say is you were learning the foreign language model, basically, is what they typically have tried to use with our languages and teaching it. So it's much the same way you would teach German in school, for instance. You're going to teach all of these rules. You're focusing on all of these rules. In our program, we focus on no rules of language. It's simply speaking. The same way you learn to speak, if you're an English speaker, the way you learn to speak English when you were a little child, nobody sat down and taught you the rules. They talked to you, you repeated things, you played with words, you played with sentences until you eventually got it right, and that's what this is all about.
Plus, those rules are super frustrating, right?
Well, when we're talking English, yes, because they're all made to be broken. But the rules in any of our indigenous language, I think, are more consistent, and they don't bend like English does, so it makes it a little easier. But those rules they learn later on. We want them to focus strictly on how to speak.
That sounds like a fabulous foundation, right?
It's a great foundation. We're hoping to keep building this. We're excited the district is on board because we're hoping to see graduates out of ASD in the next 18 years who are fluent in Yupik.
Wow. And then where would they go from there? You know, is there like a plan for higher ed?
Well, and that's our dream, I guess. And we're working with UAA right now. We collaborate with them as well for their early childhood program, and Dr. Hattie develops materials for our teachers as they're her students developing resources for our parents, because that's another important part is to pull our parents into this. We have some parents who are fluent in Yupik, but a vast majority are not in this community who have their kids in this classroom. So they want to learn as well, and so we try to produce information, and that's a big collaboration with UAA on helping the parents to understand what's going on.
Wow, that sounds really powerful too.
And they're great at also helping to bridge some of the gaps. You know, in second language acquisition, there's a period called the quiet time or silent time where kids go through, and it often worries parents. It lasts anywhere from several weeks to a year. and it's where the child is not communicating or not talking, but there's a tremendous amount of learning going on in that period of time, and this is typical of second language learners, but it causes parents to panic because it looks like there's delay. But what actually happens is once this gap gets filled, and it will, those kids accelerate beyond monolingual speakers. So it's got some great research behind it for our children to know more than one language. And we have to know our languages. It's the way our languages are constructed. It's our worldview as indigenous people. It's connected to our land. It's our spirit and it's our soul. We have nowhere else to go once our languages are dead. People from, if I want to learn Japanese, there's a country that has Japanese that's fluent. If I want Spanish, there's many countries that speak Spanish. There is nowhere else for me to go to get Yupik or Unangak or Tlingit or any of our Alaska Native languages. This is it.
So this is the homeland.
This is the homeland. And it's we got to make this progression of lost language stop, and we need to reverse that.
Right on. Well, gee, you know, thank you so much for coming by. Ethan Pettigrew is the executive director for Kukulin Head Start. Where can folks get more information about the Head Start program as well as language immersion?
Well, you can Google us. We're at Cook Inlet Native Head Start. We have a website there as well. We're also on Facebook. I believe we have a Facebook page. So, or you can come by and visit us at the Tudor Center and set up a visit to the immersion program, or come and see our other part of our program too. We're very rich culturally for Alaska Native cultures and program for wanting our kids exposed to that. We want them to be comfortable in their shoes and who they are.
Thanks so much.
Okay, Ethan Pettigrew, thanks so very much for stopping by and sharing some great information. Frank Scheisler, thank you. It's 8:40. Todd Snyder and Avett Brothers just ahead.
Sharing an accurate picture of the past is important for students, but Native history has some ugly chapters. How do you know when to introduce difficult topics like genocide, forced removal, or boarding schools to youngsters? On the next Native America Calling, we'll hear from educators who have some pointers.
Native America Calling is heard weekday mornings at 9 on KMBA, Alaska's Native Voice.